Today we celebrate Pentecost, and that first Pentecost over 2,000 years ago was like fireworks going off. There was awe, there was wonder, and there was glory. You see, Jesus said to us and said to the disciples, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And one of the ways that he has kept that promise is by sending the Holy Spirit. 50 days after Easter, after his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit down among the apostles and the early Christian believers and through the ages to us today to dwell within each of our hearts and our souls, to let us know that we are not journeying in this life alone, that he is always with us, he is always journeying with us, and guiding all of our decisions if we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and journey with us. It's always our choice. On the first Pentecost, the apostles and the other Christians were gathered in one place. We honestly don't know exactly where that was, but we know that it was in a more populated area. It perhaps might have been in the upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper with Jesus. It could have been in the temple area of Jerusalem or around Jerusalem somewhere. Because as we know, after the Holy Spirit descended, crowds gathered. So we know it wasn't in a rural setting. But what happened on that first Pentecost? There was thunderous, strong winds, tornadoes, which came from the sky. And there were flames that appeared, flames of fire that hovered around the people. And then these flames divided up and started floating through the air and came to rest above everyone's head that was present. But the fireworks didn't stop there. All of a sudden, the Christians started to speak in foreign tongues. As you remember, the people gathered there had come to Jerusalem for a festival. So as we heard in the first reading, people gathered from all over the world, speaking different languages. And each person would be proclaiming the gospel in a language that was foreign to their native tongue. And other people there were able to understand. They were put in awe and wonder of wondering what the works of God was in their midst, because they were speaking in foreign tongues that they did not understand. It was a dramatic and spectacular display. But how does the Holy Spirit come to us today? He comes to us in the soft whispers, in the quiet, gentle nature within our hearts. He doesn't come in thunder. He doesn't come in loud crashes of bang and tornadoes. He comes in the stillness and the quietness. And we heard this in the gospel today, where Jesus came to the upper room with his disciples and he breathes on them. He breathes on them, giving them the Holy Spirit to forgive sins and to go out to minister. It wasn't in the calamity of fireworks, but in the gentleness of his Spirit. St. Paul describes the actions of the Holy Spirit in the church as like the soul of a body, powerful, essential, invisible, and subtle. The Holy Spirit works quietly. He works quietly and gently within us. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in prayer, to get away from the distractions of our iPhones and the internet and the busyness of our lives, of making lists of what we have to do and what we have not yet accomplished. We will miss the promptings of the Holy Spirit if we're not able to come to the inner sanctuary of our heart in quietness, in reverence, and being still so he may work within us. And it kind of reminded me of my discernment to the priesthood. I had many promptings of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't sure at the time if it was the Holy Spirit or Jesus, but it was really the Holy Spirit the more I prayed about it and thought about it. But I would go to my home parish at St. Paul's in Phoenix many times, being in the chapel by myself, praying. And we have to be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to invite Him in and to be attentive and to calm ourselves down and be open to His promptings. Because many of the promptings of my vocation were subtle, quiet whispers within my heart. Some, for example, were the Holy Spirit was telling me, I will not lead you where I will not sustain you. And it probably gave me peace knowing that I was an older vocation, that I would be able to handle the studies and the life as an older seminarian. But He would constantly say to me, I will not lead you where I will not sustain you. And also promptings of trust in me, trust in me. And just allowing His subtleness and His love to penetrate me helped to foster my vocation. Oftentimes we miss the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us. I know that's happened to me where it's like He was speaking to me and as something happens, it's like, you told me, but I didn't do it, I wasn't listening. So there's a lot of times if we're not attentive, we're not listening and not open, we can miss His promptings. And then we kind of kick ourselves afterwards, don't we? Knowing that He was trying to guide us in a certain direction, but of our own busyness or our own stubbornness, we choose another direction. And it's like, I told you, listen to me, follow me, allow me to use you. And that's one thing I do, and I invite all of us to do, is to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Every time I have the opportunity and privilege of praying Mass with all of you, I open my hands and I say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Very easy prayer. I say, Lord Jesus, this is not about me, it's about you. Use me as your vessel to bring Christ to your people. Unite our hearts in prayer and in song that we may give glory to you. And I also pray for those hearts and those people among us who come with brokenness, come with pain. Give them hope, give them your presence, and bring healing and light into their lives, that we may be united as Christ desires for us to be united as a community of believers. That's my prayer, and I invite you to pray that same prayer in your own words, in your own heart, because when you pray from the heart, you always pray the right words. The Lord will always give them to you because the Holy Spirit is within you. My prayer and my message today is really meant for our young people, those graduate from high school, college. It's also meant for all of us, but I really want to encourage our young people that you are created for greatness. God has created each one of us for greatness. And how do we have that greatness? Because He created us in His image and likeness. In our baptism, that light of Christ comes to life within each of us. And in our confirmation, it becomes like a bonfire, where the Lord wants to use us as vessels to build up His kingdom. But just as when you have a bonfire going, you have to feed it with wood, don't you? Or it's going to just disintegrate to nothing but coals and die out. But we, as Christians, as Catholics, need to constantly feed ourselves with the Word of God. We feed ourselves at the Eucharistic table, where Jesus comes to us in the real presence to nourish us on our journey for the week. But we also have to nourish ourselves with sacred scripture, with church doctrine. In many ways, our learning of our Catholic faith does not stop after confirmation or after high school or college. It's a lifelong process until we take our last breath on this earth. We are always learning about our faith, growing in our faith, and learning to love and know more about Jesus in a more deeper and intimate way. And that takes time, it takes dedication, and it takes persistence on our part. And I want to encourage our young people that once you go to college and once you come out of college and establish your career, to continue to foster your faith. You are the future of our church, and the Jesus and the Holy Spirit wants to use you for greatness. Your foundation is your faith, and everything is built upon that foundation of Christ. And in order to grow in greatness, we need to have a relationship with Jesus. To allow the Holy Spirit to grow and foster our lives is work, it's commitment, and it's getting ourselves out of bed in the morning on Sunday to come to Mass, isn't it? To make the right decisions. Because our whole life, we are always given choices. We take a lot for granted, but we're always given choices of choosing this or that. And some choices don't matter, and some do. But the Lord wants us to always make choices that bring reverence to Him, glory to God, and glory to our lives, so that we may grow in greatness. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to help us to do, to make the right decisions so that we may grow in greatness, to serve those we live with, those we work with, and even those we don't even know that we encounter during our daily journey. So that's my encouragement for our young people, to embrace your faith, to be open to the working of the Holy Spirit, because you are created for greatness. Don't allow anyone to ever tear that down. There are people that are mean in our world, people that want to steal your thunder, steal your joy, and that's not of the Lord. Kill those type of people with kindness, and don't allow their negativity, their tearing you down, to affect you, because you are a child of God, a beloved son and a beloved daughter of Jesus and God our Father. And they want you to always remember of your greatness for which you are created. Because just as the apostles and the early Christians on Pentecost were sent forth, we are all called to be sent forth to build up the kingdom of God, to let the fire of the Spirit within us grow and direct our lives, that all we do brings glory to God. And by doing that and making those choices, we will be always experiencing greatness in our life and be able to experience greatness in other people's lives. So that's my prayer for all of our young people, because you are the future of this church, and the Lord needs you, I need you, and our faith community needs you. Know of my prayers and my support of each of you. You are loved, you are created in God's image, and the Holy Spirit is alive and thriving within you. Feed that fuel to bring glory with your life and the life of those you encounter.